To be beloved is to be adored. To be beloved is to be cherished, is to be treasured. This is the promise in our baptisms. It is first an act of God, God claiming us as God's very own, a beloved child, and then God declaring to us, simply because we belong to God, that God is well pleased with us.
That's the Reverend Dr. Deborah Samuelson, and today she brings you a challenging message of faith entitled Tattooed for Life. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. Deborah Samuelson, Senior Pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Before coming to Good Shepherd in 2010, Deborah served 15 years as Associate Pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in Atlanta, Georgia. She has also served churches in Iowa and Minnesota. Deborah is a graduate of St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota. She earned her Master of Divinity degree from Luther Seminary in St. Paul and her Doctor of Ministry from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. Deborah, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you again.
You've preached on Day One several times over the past decade or so, and you were one of our regular clergy panelists on the Day One segments on the Hallmark Channel a while back, so we're delighted you're with us again. In 2010, you became the senior pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis. So tell us about the church you lead and serve. How would you describe the people and the holy work you undertake there together?
It's a marvelous congregation, a deeply faithful congregation that care about one another, and they care deeply about the world around them, both local and global. Strong, strong outreach there. And there's a strong performing arts ministry. The arts have always been important to this congregation. And when I got there, I created a performing arts position thinking that, oh, the performing arts, that would be a good way to help people learn the biblical stories better. Mm-hmm. Well, God had a way bigger plan than that. It's become one of our strongest outreach ministries. It's wonderful. Tor Johnson is the director's name. He has students and children from throughout the community participating in the performing arts there.
And music has always been an important part of your life. You were a professional harpist for some time, and you've sung with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chorus and the Minnesota Chorale. Do you see music as a spiritual practice?
Oh, what a good question. Yes. Yes, certainly. When I'm away from music for a while, I can feel it, and I get back, whether it be to singing, even singing hymns mm-hmm. in worship, or back to practicing the harp, which I don't do very often anymore. But once I get back to it, it fills my spiritual side in a way that words can't always meet, a place so deep that words mm-hmm. can't always reach there.
And that works in a congregational setting as well.
It does. We've got strong music at Good Shepherd, a wonderful director of worship and music who is very careful at providing different kinds of music mm-hmm. for the congregation. It's an eclectic kind of service. He does a beautiful job. I'm really grateful for him and his ministry.
The church website says that at Good Shepherd, we do not claim to have all the answers. Rather, we embrace life's deepest questions as a community and understand that doubt is an integral part of our faith. Not all churches would say that. How do people respond to that attitude?
They respond beautifully to that, to know that they can come as they are. That's one mm-hmm. of our taglines, come as you are. And people feel free mm-hmm. to do just that. Wherever they are on their spiritual journey, they know that this is a place that they are welcomed. They are welcomed to bring those questions of faith. I think that's really important for us, mm-hmm. to be able to let people have questions, because I think once we're honest with it, most of us do have questions. And to be honest about that in our faith life is really important.
Especially in this age where belief in any religion seems to be declining, mm-hmm. to be able to own those doubts must be powerful.
I think it's really important. And we preach those doubts, too, mm-hmm. from the pulpit. that as pastors, of course, we have doubts. It's the same side of the coin as faith. The disciples, this is a wonderful passage in Matthew, when they were on their way, this is Jesus had come to earth again, and they were on their way up the mountain just before he was ascending. And it says, they doubted and believed at the same time. And so it's just a beautiful passage in Matthew.
You were accepted earlier this year into lay Benedictine oblate formation. Explain what that means and why a Lutheran pastor would want to be involved in it.
Yeah, why? Why would a Lutheran pastor want to be involved in a Benedictine spirituality? A number of years ago, I was part of a seasoned clergy renewal program called Women Touched by Grace, and that was at a Benedictine monastery. And that's where I got acquainted with Benedictine spirituality and was also introduced to the lay oblate community. And I thought, that is something I would like to do. Indiana was too far for me to go. And so this summer, I looked up St. Paul Monastery in St. Paul, and they offered a training program. I was delighted to be accepted into that program. Wonderful, wonderful sisters there at St. Paul Monastery. Benedictine spirituality is a spirituality. 1,500 years ago, Benedict wrote rules that are a good way to live, a good way of balance between prayer and study and work and play. Play isn't a real strong part for me, but the other part I work to get in balance. Prayer, even for people who are steeped in prayer, the easiest thing to do is to get sidetracked from prayer. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful story about the disciples of Abba Agathon, and they asked him, among all the good works, which is the virtue that requires the greatest effort? And he said, without question, it's prayer to God. Because every time we pray, our enemies or our demons want to prevent us. For they know that prayer is the only thing that turns us from living the kind of life we want to live. And I just love that. He said, prayer is warfare to the last breath.
Amen.
Amen, yeah.
It's interesting this year as we observe the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and your involvement in this Benedictine formation. What do you think about where we are in terms of relationships with the Roman Catholic Church?
Especially with this Pope. I think that he has made all traditions easier to relate to the Catholic Church. Such a strong emphasis on outreach and treatment of the poor and how we treat the poor systemically and how we outreach out to them.
Deb, how did you experience your calling to the ministry?
That happened before the doors were open for a female in the Lutheran church to become a pastor. I grew up in a fairly large congregation. I remember sitting in worship, watching my pastor in the pulpit, thinking, that's what I have to do. And I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want to be laughed at. That wasn't a possibility. I thought about becoming a missionary, and that didn't seem like that was feasible at the time. So I threw myself into music, and it was my senior year in college. I had been elected to the student congregation, and I was being installed, and somewhere during that prayer, I knew I needed to go to seminary. And it's been a struggle at times, of course, of course. I wondered if I read the signals right, of course. But God will choose whom God will choose and will use whom God will use. And I hope and pray at the end of my day that I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well, today the church focuses on the baptism of the Lord, and your sermon draws from the gospel reading for this Sunday from Matthew chapter 3. Would you read it for us?
Sure. Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved. with whom I am well pleased.
There's a lot packed into these few verses. Is there anything in particular that strikes you as you read it?
This whole idea of baptism. Whether we were baptized as infants or baptized older and people remember those mm-hmm. baptisms, what difference does it make? Mm. And that's what struck me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I took the sermon the way I did. What difference does it make that we are baptized, that we had some water poured over our heads with some words or were immersed into the water? What difference does it make? And to help us to remember day to day the difference that our baptism makes day to day when the world beats us down, and it does. This is a hard life sometimes. To remember that, no, God says we are valued. Mm-hmm. We are of infinite value. That's something that we need to remember every day. And we can't remind ourselves of that. It's important. At least I can't. Maybe some other people can. But I don't have an easy time reminding myself. And so to go to the community and be a part of the community is part of that voice that says, no, you are of infinite value. The church community, just in the conversations that we have mm-hmm. together or the chance conversations that we have with someone. God cannot be limited in the way God shows up in our lives. Mm. That's one of the things I like about Benedict, is that that's one of the things he stresses, that do not limit God in the places you're going to find God. Be open. And he talks about listening with the ear of your heart. And pay attention. Pay attention to all the places in your life that God shows up. To me, that's living out our baptismal mm-hmm. promises, that God shows up.
Well, we look forward to hearing your sermon. It's entitled Tattooed for Life. Deborah, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. It's so good to be with you again. A man from Good Shepherd, the church I'm serving in Minneapolis, told me that he and his twin boys were watching a football game together. The boys noticed and commented on the tattoos of many of the players. It opened up a wonderful conversation for them. Bill, their father, talked about the stories. All those tattoos have stories with them. Ask someone the story of their tattoos. Most love to tell those stories. I know I sure do. I have two small tattoos. One is a rose on the top of my left foot. I love it when people ask me about it. When my children were teenagers and we were still living in Atlanta, they gave me a rose bush for Mother's Day one year. My son's words when they gave me this bush were, "Mom, you're the rose in a world of thorns." Aw, that was so sweet. And that is a story worth a permanent, never-to-be-removed mark on my body. A little P.S. Neither one of my children remembers giving me that rosebush, and my son does not remember saying those words to me. They think I was dreaming this whole thing. And frankly, given their teenage years, that I was dreaming this probably makes more sense. But it's what this mother remembers, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So back to the football game. Bill, the wise father that he is, used this conversation with his boys about stories and tattoos as an opportunity to remind them of their baptisms and of God's story in their lives through their baptisms. He said to them, "We have our own tattoos, you know. You are marked with the cross of Christ in your lives forever." And oh my goodness, what a story that is to tell. And why is there a story to tell about baptism, an event that happened to many of us before we were even capable of remembering that event? When Jesus had been baptized and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Beloved, what a beautiful word. To be beloved is to be adored, To be beloved is to be cherished, is to be treasured. This is the promise in our baptisms. It is first an act of God, God claiming us as God's very own, a beloved child, and then God declaring to us, simply because we belong to God, that God is well pleased with us. Now that is a story to tell. That I am beloved by God, and that God is pleased with me, because that's not always the story we tell ourselves. Most of us have another story that runs in our head. Sometimes we call this storyteller the inner critic, that one who reminds us just what a failure we are, how many people may only be pretending to like us, and if they really knew us, they'd run away, or how we're not attractive enough, or talented enough, or clever enough, or intelligent enough to be beloved, much less have someone be pleased with us. Life can hold with it joy and laughter and wonderful conversations and friendships, some close enough even to be our chosen families. And right alongside it, life can bring with it loss and disappointment and sleepless nights and an inner certainty that no matter what we do or no matter how hard we try, we're just not measuring up. Which is why we need to tell this baptism story over and over again, to counter the story of the inner critic, to counter the story the world often tells that to be truly beloved, you have to possess something, money, house, good looks, power. We tell this baptism story over and over to counter the story that you don't measure up or that you don't belong. The story of baptism is not only a story that we belong to God and are beloved by God, it is a story that we belong to each other, that we are a part of a larger story of God's presence in the world. Our theme at Good Shepherd for Lent several years ago was baptism. We wanted our people to remember their baptisms and the difference being baptized makes in their day-to-day lives. Months earlier, in conversation with a couple of our talented artists in the congregation, the idea came up about creating a baptismal font for Lent that somehow would also be interactive. I loved the idea, and they ran with it, but it ended up being a little bigger than the original plan. I was thinking of a nice little fountain with some water that would be running and maybe would splash around and draw some attention to it. But when the congregation entered the church that first Wednesday evening in Lent, they discovered a huge 10 by 10 foot box with 2.5 feet high cement walls with three pipes sticking up about 5 feet from the bottom. Around the foyer were chunks or pieces of limestone on flats left over from landscaping jobs because they weren't the right size or they weren't the right color or the right shape for their original purpose. Each one with a round hole drilled through the middle of it. Following the worship service and a moving sermon by my colleague, the community was instructed to line up and take pieces of the limestone, pass each one down the line, and put them on the pipes until each pipe was filled to the top with limestone pieces. What people hadn't realized was that those pipes were water pipes. When they turned the water on, water started trickling out of those pipes and over the stones. And these leftover stones that had been rejected from various jobs of the landscapers, all different shapes and sizes and colors, now, stacked together and with water sprinkling over them, had become a beautiful fountain. Those stones were us. We who sometimes feel rejected because we just don't measure up, and yet are chosen to be part of something big and beautiful, just as God had chosen us in our baptisms to be a part of God's kingdom, a member of God's family. And as we watched the water run over the stones, we could imagine God's love shown to us in the waters of baptism, washing over our lives, bathing us in love. We come together in worship because we need to hear over and over again that God loves us and has claimed us as beloved children, cherished and treasured. And we come together in worship because our wells sometimes have run dry, and we need to feel those refreshing waters of baptism trickling over us again. Because sometimes life is just so hard. We have no words to pray or no songs to sing. We're just that empty. Sometimes it's the community of the baptized that sings those hymns we can't always sing. And sometimes it's the community that prays the prayers we can't always pray. And sometimes it's the community that speaks the words of faith that we can have trouble speaking ourselves or even believing ourselves. And we just let those words and songs and prayers wash over us, reminding us of God's love, reminding us that in the waters of baptism, God has called us and claimed us as God's own, beloved and delightful, cherished. That's the story of our baptisms. That's a story worth telling over and over again. That's a story worth living in. Please pray with me. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know how hard this life can be. We thank you for the community, the body of Christ, where we are reminded of your boundless love for us in your word, in the sacraments, in one another. Use us as your living word in this world to reach out, to cherish others as we are cherished, to work for justice and peace in this, your kingdom on earth. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Deborah Samuelson, Senior Pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For a free printed transcript of her message for the Baptism of the Lord Sunday, entitled Tattooed for Life, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Day 1 depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support as we start a new year of ministry. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day 1, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Martin E. Marty, Distinguished Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago and author of the new book, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther and the Day That Changed the World. His sermon is entitled, Look, an Epiphany. Be sure to tune in. Deborah Samuelson offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Deborah, you told us about a friend who was talking to his sons about all the tattoos they saw on football players' arms, noting that each tattoo tells a story. And this wise father told his boys, we have our own tattoos, you know. Through baptism, you are marked with the cross of Christ in your lives forever. Some of us, as you noted, may have been far too young to remember our baptisms, but even so, all baptisms seem somewhat ephemeral since it's just water that dries off. But we really are marked, tattooed forever by the waters of baptism. As believers, why is it important to keep that permanence in mind?
Because we have so little in this life that is permanent. Mm. And because we live in this culture where there is so little that's permanent, it's easy to forget. Mm-hmm. And that is something that makes such a difference in our lives every moment, every day, that the permanence of the Word of God, the permanence of God's presence in our lives is worth repeating over and over again. And it's a permanence that's easy to forget.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Dr. David Lose posed a question about baptism a few years ago that I think you've addressed beautifully in your sermon, but I wonder if you'd say more about it. He asked, does baptism make us part of God's family, or does it announce to us that God includes us in God's family?
I love that question. When I read that, it really captured me. Because if our answer to the first question, if that's the way we see baptism, then it becomes a magic act. It's so easy for it to become a magic act that we better just go have our kid done. Just in case, you know, eternal fire insurance, just in case that what they say is true. But if we see ourselves as if it's a reminder of what is already true, then it just seems that we have a different attitude toward all of life, toward all of the people that God has created, which includes us all.
Mm-hmm.
A more open and inclusive way of reaching out into the world.
The story of baptism is not only a story that we belong to God and are beloved by God, you said, it is a story that we belong to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of a larger story of God's presence in the world. Would you say more about what we should do with that realization that we belong to each other?
Mm. A couple of things about that. One is my husband Peter studied intellectual humility.
Mm.
And Benedict talks a lot about humility. Humility isn't just being a doormat. Intellectual humility, I learned this from my husband, is coming to the table, knowing what it is we believe, and being really solid in what that is that we believe, but having the ability to also listen to the other.
Mm.
Instead of being so sure that I know all there is to know and nobody else can teach me anything, intellectual humility comes to the table, feeling quite certain about what I know, but also, and this is Benedict, making sure that we are listening to what God is speaking to us. And it may come from really surprising places. I love that emphasis. That's a really important part that we have forgotten. So I think culture in general has forgotten how to have that kind of conversation, that very different opinions can come to the same table and have a difference of opinion and talk together back and forth. We might even learn something from one another, and we can walk away with different opinions, maybe informed in a different way, but we can still walk away friends. What a concept.
Yes. Deb, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
I hope that our listeners will keep in mind the promise of God that we are of infinite value.
Mm.
And that's what our baptisms remind us of over and over again every day. And when we know that, when I feel beaten up, it's really hard for me to reach out in love and compassion to someone else. But when I feel loved and cherished, that gives me the strength to reach out to others with that same kind of love and cherish them in a way I can't when I'm feeling beaten up myself.
Deborah Samuelson, thank you for being with us.
You are welcome. It's so good to see you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.